Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales prior to stepping back to focus more on building Realty Universal membership network. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel,
there?
If you will, of Realty Universal.
Yes, we'll
and now, Natalie Mullinex.
Hi, everybody. It's so great to be here. I'm looking so forward to today's show. And we have a wonderful guest coming on in a minute. Today's we're going to talk about real estate and how it hasn't changed as much as we thought in the past so many years. There's some things that never, never change. And we're bringing a wonderful guest, Jolly Dalton, who's been a broker for over 30 years in Pennsylvania, Maryland. She has tons of experience. Knows this business inside and out, and I'm really looking forward to sharing and hearing her tips and secrets and things that have really made it joyful for her all these past 30 years. And now I'd like to welcome Jolly Dalton. Hey, Jolly. Jolly, I'm saying Jolly. Jolly, aren't I? And your name's Jolly, and I know that. Oh, God. How are you?
Wonderful. And you?
Wonderful.
Good.
Wonderful. You are in Pennsylvania on the East Coast, and it's 3 o'clock there now, I think.
Yes.
Yeah. And I'm in Hawaii at 9, and we have listeners that get on from all over the place and listen later. So I'm really looking forward to today.
This is exciting.
Yeah. It's our industry has changed so much, and with technology and everything, but there's so many things that are still the same, and it's, I'm just really excited to talk with you today and share insights. And typically our first half of the show is real estate, and then our second half is self-help, motivational. Today we're going to stick on the real estate topic and just go through some history. And so I'm going to get right in, and we're going to dig right in instead of taking any breaks right this moment. Where you cover, and I've known you for a while now through Sherrill and Arnold, and I think I sold their a house for them in Owings Mills back in, 29 years ago.
A long time ago.
And then they bought a farm from you up in Pennsylvania, which they still own.
I know.
It's, doesn't it seem like yesterday?
Yes, it does.
It's just gone by so fast. So tell me, Jolly, what got you into the business originally? How did you decide to get into this?
I guess it was meant to be. We moved into this beautiful area, and I didn't want to just stay home, especially after my son started school. And there were no jobs. Suddenly we saw an advertisement for a real estate agent and didn't know anything about it. But we stopped by and talked with the people, and they were wonderful. So here I am.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Later.
That's amazing. So 30, that was all in Adams County? Is that the area
yes.
that you're in?
Yes, same area, same office. One tidbit is when I started, when I got my real estate license, I still didn't have my driver's license.
Oh, no. How did you do that?
That is true. I had
That's
driver's
funny.
License, driver's permits all over. Well, in Augusta, Georgia, and Frankfurt, Germany,
uh-huh.
and here. I wasn't a young driver, so I was afraid of driving. I used to think, if I can drive, I can do brain surgery. So that was true. My first sale... the client drove, the buyer at that time. he drove, and he didn't ask. I said, I just don't have my car, which was true. It was sitting at the house. And he said, I'll drive. So I sold him 2 lots, and they put a nice house on it.
I love it. That is so funny. You get it? That is hysterical. So what did you, when did you decide to finally say, hey, I better get my license? Did it push, did it give you enough drive to do it?
My husband, Charles, was my teacher, and he kept me in the parking lot for so long. He just wanted me to be a good driver. So
it's hard to have your spouse as a teacher, though, right? Because then you're more nervous.
He is so good. He taught both our children to drive. He's so good, but he's very strict, so he kept saying, you're not ready. Finally, he said, well, we have to start this. So I did.
That's wonderful.
I know.
So, and you said you had a learner's permit in Germany and then another state?
Augusta, Georgia. We live
Augusta,
there
Georgia. Well, in Germany, they drive on the other side of the road, right? So
No, that's England. In Germany.
Oh, just England.
But
okay,
in Germany,
I thought because I've been to. I thought Germany was the other side. I'm sorry, it's not like it's England, Australia,
England.
Okay, and the other parts. Oh, because that would have been really funny if you had to do everything backwards.
I have never tried that, and I'm thinking it could be problematic for me because I don't know. But
I go to Europe and I take the Euro around the trains and everything, but I don't know why I was thinking Germany was the other side. Well, that's so funny. So you did it a few times, and then you finally. Wow. So with the real estate, when you got in, it must have been 1984. I was in 1985. So we had the MLS system then. They were just getting away from the cards, right?
Well, when I came in, there were books, and they had just gotten what they termed down terminal. You could print out stuff like on thermal paper to give it to people. And then the paper, do you remember how the papers got so discolored and you couldn't read it?
Yes.
You had to send, and this is so easy right now. Then you had to take the pictures, get the pictures developed, go to the courthouse, get your papers, and mail everything within a certain time to the association, and they had to put it in book form. Did you have that?
Yes, I did. And then I was in 85, and they started having the MLS was working better, but we still had, people still looked in the books.
Well, this is like the story of people saying we walked so many miles to school in the snow. it was hard. I didn't like to go to courthouse.
Oh, my gosh. All the work. And we didn't have fax machines back then.
No.
So everything was, you had to deliver.
This really is exciting. I mean, you can do anything from your computer, your cell phone. This is just so exciting.
Isn't it wonderful? I just love it to be able to be anywhere in the world as long as we have internet and a phone or a cell phone, and we can conduct business. Can you imagine now DocuSign and electronic signatures, and people don't even want to take the time to do faxes, so we do e-faxes, and it's just, wow, what a different world.
It's beautiful. It really is. I keep thinking, what in 10, 15, 20 years from now, or 50 years from now, what will happen?
Yeah, that's a good point. I wonder, because people, maybe they'll just have the chips and they'll buy the homes and through the one-stop shop. Who knows?
But remember, one thing stayed the same. That's
what?
The face-to-face human connection. I mean, that hasn't changed at all. Everything has changed, but that stayed the same. I don't know if you remember, this is many years ago as well, they were talking about this brick-and-mortar places will be obsolete. Well, you can add on to it. You can do virtual stuff. But for people, it's important to get face-to-face or on the phone even, because people need to feel connected. They need to know somebody on the other end cares for them. They can't trust the word. They can't trust their knowledge.
You know, you're so right. Those are the things that are never, that haven't changed with all the technology, all the changes. You're right, that people still need to be able to trust and have the relationship with you. You know, with what we've done with the brokerage in Maryland and Hawaii and then the Real Estate Membership Association, so much of what I do now is virtual, but I still need that human connection, phone-to-phone, you know, connection. And we're seeing a lot more people wanting to go back, not to kind of the brick-and-mortar, wanting to meet with people more and more to have that handshake, to have that connection, you know. So we put people in touch with other people in other areas. But I'm seeing that more and more because I think with the social media and everything, people are starting to, they're loving it, but they're starting to see that so many people are disconnecting from the relationships, and it's amazing how, you know, I like to say local but global, because people want to know they're protected, but they still need people. And you're right, and that's just for new agents getting in the business, say somebody goes in, or say you sell your business or move and start over in a new area. Would you agree that it's, if you go in and you're going to start a farm area, that it's good to do that within maybe 20 minutes to 30 minutes from your home, and you still need to get out and meet and greet and talk and kind of get, let the people know who you are?
Absolutely. It is people business. You have to really like or appreciate people and understand them, and you have to go beyond the surface to understand what their needs are, what drives them, what makes them happy. It's a wonderful business. It's something that has so many facets that no boring things here.
Well, do you sometimes feel like you're playing a psychiatrist, though? Like you have to be a psychiatrist?
Yes, you do. You have to, especially if you do understand the people. I mean, one thing that a lot of us don't get to is that partnership point. When you hire a real estate agent, you have to become a team. You have to work for the same end. You have to be able to understand each other's thoughts. And a lot of the time it doesn't get there. It stays sort of in an opposition mode, not necessarily adversarial.
Do you think because of the competition or because they're just on guard?
On guard, yeah, I think so. Yeah, maybe people have heard too many stories, or they are not thinking that perhaps this person couldn't have our interest at heart as much as we can. But when you hire an agent, you are on the same team, and that has to be paramount. I mean, you're working for the person and for the same goal.
That's a good point, and they keep that connection because, you know, you've been a broker for ages, and I've been a broker for ages, and we've worn many hats in the business having our own companies. I can, you know, and sometimes I know I found myself giving away too much of the store when I started when I was 28 and started my brokerage in Maryland, and was given, and we have to learn because in this industry, it's such a people industry. It's also so important to be able to schedule things because everything can come at you and keep coming at you because it's not, you know, buyers and sellers are constantly coming in, right? And schedules are changing. So it's really important to be able to learn how to run it as a business so that you can still make those decisions, because I find, and I've seen it many times, especially with residential real estate, commercial real estate, you're still dealing with personalities and you're still dealing with human and relationships. So, but I found that you can get so close with your people and then get taken advantage of in a way that shouldn't be. So I think it's important. I just feel, as being an old timer, I don't know if you agree with me that at all, that if we can put checks and balances and then, you know, have the boundaries, because it's so easy in our business to just get taken away from it with it. You know, I think if you know, when you really love people and you want to do and you want to do and do, and it's a tough, it's a balancing act almost.
It is a balancing act, but we do not, just because you don't want to burden people with your own issues, we don't know how to say, I cannot do it that day.
Right.
We are thinking about their needs, and, you know as well, we go on for days without getting our stuff done because we're trying to help somebody else.
Exactly.
And that has very little to do with monetary side of it. You're just trying to help people. You're trying to make them feel happy. You're trying to whatever. I mean, as basic as often you don't have time to go to lunch with someone because you're working. It's
right.
7 days a week often. You know, is there any day that your phone does not ring for business? No.
Right.
Is there a day that you're not engaged in business from waking to going to bed? And it doesn't work that way. I try to take 1 day weekend off so I can do, house stuff, family stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
But you delegate to other people some then, right?
Yeah.
So that you can do that?
I can, depends on the situation. Although, I think that has to do with me more than anything else, because if I work with some really neat people. I mean, people are basically very nice and decent. If I said to them, look, I need to do this for myself, they would understand and we could use another time if there was time.
Do you mean the buyers or sellers or the agents?
Buyers or sellers, yeah, buyers
okay.
or sellers. But I don't do that. I mean, that's on me. That's my fault.
It's what you like to do. I mean, I think that's probably what you
want to
do.
I don't want people to lose an opportunity or maybe they don't have time. It goes on, and sometimes you can delegate it, but then that personal connection you have is not totally there anymore.
Right,
it depends on the situation.
Yeah.
But I found out after I bought the brokerage, I became the broker, people were more thoughtful of my time. I didn't get
the clients
late.
Or the agents?
Clients.
Okay.
I didn't get as many late in the evening phone calls, or as if they did realize that this woman has more to do now than before, and that's true of a small brokerage especially.
Wow.
So people
that's
are
wonderful.
Basically fabulous.
Yeah,
so.
That's wonderful, because I've kind of always, in my early years, and then of course when I had to restart the Hawaii brokerage, because one thing about our industry is you build it and you can really build up a substantial great business if you're in one area. Then when you leave the one area, you're going to lose a lot of that business to go to another area.
Yeah.
I went 5,000 miles away. So,
but that's not normal, right? You've always
most people don't do that. Yeah.
You have always been so brave, always.
Yeah.
And, take the leap, but then what's most impressive is, I don't know if I ever said this to you, that you are also keeping your old friendships, like Cheryl.
I do.
Right?
I do.
I mean, that's
important to me.
That's really different.
It's hard, though, awesome. Because sometimes the people want to, they're busy, so it's hard sometimes. But, I do. But I found that because of technology, I've been able to still keep some older clients, right, but not the amount of clients that I would have kept had I stayed in the area, because of exactly what you said a little while ago, how people want to see that face-to-face, the connection.
They
want you involved. And when we delegate to somebody else, a lot of times they say, well, okay, because I really wanted you. Now, what I've been able to do is still keep me in the picture through the transaction, so I'm overseeing it, handling marketing. But But there'll come a time I won't be able to because of my schedule, you know?
Yeah.
But I think it is for people, you build it, and so you do lose a lot of that referral business, a lot of those connections, because mm-hmm. they say, oh, I figured you're 5,000 miles away, so I just went to this other friend, or I went to somebody else because I figured you wouldn't be able to do it. And like, well, no, we can handle it. The only reason we can handle it is because of the technology we have today, where
yeah.
I can talk to you now. I'm in Hawaii, you're in Pennsylvania, and it sounds the same as if we're 10 minutes from each other, right?
Yeah.
So much of what I do in my business is on the phone and not out in the field as much as the old days, so I'm able to do it. But there's still that little bit of disconnect that would be completely taken care of, is what you're saying, you know, if you're right there and they're coming in and they're seeing you, people like that. Because I do see we have a lot of internet business that goes through from different areas and people calling in on different properties that are in different types of listing services, you know, limited, full service. And there's a lot of people doing that, and it goes to the owner, and we're not getting to build those relationships, you know, with that person. So it's kind of like, it's different. It's very different. And I think, like, with what you're doing, you're so right that these are certain things that haven't changed. People need to trust you. You know, I know with me, there's people that will call after these years and they still want my opinion on the deal or the transaction because of my knowledge and trusting me, knowing that I would never tell them something that isn't for them. You know, I'm not looking out just for me. I want to make sure they're taken care of. And I know you're the same way. And I think that's something that is, that trust factor is huge, because when people just go to the internet and get online and they're going to buy from anybody and they don't know who they are, that's taken away. And so I'm seeing a lot of differences, like with the real estate shows that are telling everybody you can be an expert and they really can't, you know, so everybody... I'm finding that part of our industry has changed a lot. More and more people are being more educated through the internet, but then some things that they're being taught aren't always the best, you know? So that's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing a lot of differences that way. But what you said, when it comes back to brick and mortar, I think people are getting tired of the social media disconnect that's happening to even the younger generations. They hardly even look up and say hi to you when they're walking down the street because they've got their earphones on, right?
it is so different. Some people rather... Have you found that some people would rather be contacted through, let's say, texting?
Or totally.
Some will do emails. Some will do through Facebook, you know, messaging. I mean, there are so many different things. I used to send emails because I like that, or call. But then I realized after a while, oh, no, this person prefers this. So you
exactly.
really have to go along with what they feel comfortable with.
Isn't that funny? So, you have to. I found the younger generation texts a lot more. You know,
yes.
that you'll find.
I love that, though.
They don't return the phone calls, and they're not calling back.
No.
After three, and you're like, oh, my gosh, this is not. And then you text, and they answer you right away.
I know.
I know you got my call. You received my call, and that's what I'm seeing. There's just a lot of changes going on, you know. But you're right. The bottom line is when they can say they can hear your voice, they can talk to you and go, no, I trust this person. I know this person cared. You know, it makes a difference.
It still is people business, but the thing that we don't learn early in the game, everyone has a personality on which they built their business, you know, whatever it is that they do comes with that personality. So you can't really mesh with everyone you meet.
True.
You notice that you're pulling in certain types of people. So there's room for every personality. There's room for people who do basic unbundled services. But
mm-hmm.
most people prefer face-to-face or on the phone or whatever, because that, I guess, that makes it more well-rounded situation.
I see it. Because, you know, people, when they're buying a house, selling a house, and it's residential, there's a lot of emotion involved, unless it's just an investment property and they've built many. But even then, they're being careful. But you see a lot of emotionals, a lot of emotions. It could be the first house, second, third. People are having pregnancies, babies. You know, they're moving, relocating. There's a lot going on in their lives. And we end up being kind of the middle person, you know, inside putting it together. And then we have to deal with the other brokers and the other agents. And that's a whole nother multitude of personalities that we...
That is true. That's
you know, and I think that... Yeah, and the younger ones are being trained completely different than the way we were trained, except we still have to dot our I's and cross our T's and make it work.
You know what I really envy in the younger agents, because they are so ahead of the curve in terms of technology, and it takes me a lot more work to really stay up. I want to stay relevant. That really takes a lot of work.
Does it? You stay up on it? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like people not learning to drive. Remember, a million years ago, some people didn't drive.
And constantly.
And they cannot stay in certain areas because of it. And you know, you just have to try to keep up with whatever's happening in the marketplace. Or else then you're going to lose.
Yeah, right. And then we have the companies now like Zillow, Trulia. Well, Trulia was bought out by Zillow, and they're trying to take over the markets and not deal with the MLSs. And they're trying to – what's happening is, you know, you do enough advertising and marketing, and then people say, oh, they must be a big, good company. I'm going to get a lot of traffic. But what they're not realizing is because they're not using public record data that's specific and MLSs, a lot of their information is skewed. I've seen it happen over and over with Zillow, where it looks like a property just sold for one price, and it brings the price down, and really the property didn't sell. Somebody may have passed away, and they had to take the spouse or whomever off the deed, and maybe they had a home equity line or something, credit, and then that smaller lien is showing, and it's looking like it was a sale, and it doesn't even make sense. So it's skewed because they're just pulling data. I'm sure they're going to work on it, but the public is seeing it different ways, you know. So we have so much more media and mass media and misinformation that's getting out there, and I think that makes it even harder for us to be able to do what we do, you know, in our situations. And gosh, it's so great talking to you, because you just get it. You've been there. You've been through all this, and you know, and you're still. It's exciting. You're still excited about it. You know, that's really great.
I love people. Houses are fine, but it's about people. You know, just.
So if it was just selling houses, you probably wouldn't do it, right? Because I know I feel that sometimes after selling houses for so long, you're like, if it's weren't the people weren't involved, it wouldn't be
make
fun.
It worthwhile. You're so right. It is just, but I have to say, and Cheryl and I are always talk about you. I'm a great admirer of your.
Oh, you're just too nice. I admire
lady.
You. You're wonderful.
It's a mutual admiration society at this moment. But I just think, I mean, you are so ahead in thinking. You're so fearless. It's amazing. And,
well,
and
I
you're
think it's
kind
it's,
in doing that.
It's not easy, though.
No.
It's not always easy.
No, but you make it look easy. So, you know, you do it with such grace that you make it look easy.
Oh, you're so nice. Oh, you're wonderful.
I truly mean it. As Cheryl, we talk about it all the time, and you just make it so, seem so effortless and seamless. But I know
you put
a lot of effort into it, just that you don't show it.
I felt that what it is to build up a practice in an area and then give up so much of it and go start it over, which is hard to do because it's years of repeat business and income coming in, and I felt it, and then you go to another area and then sometimes you say, okay, well, maybe this isn't where I'm going to be for good either, and that's for me, I'm really into the systems, but we have like kind of unbundled and offered menu services for years now. And so we still have a lot of people that want full service, but then we have the whole gamut of a true menu, which I believe in. But it just takes a lot of, and we teach the other brokers how to do that because it takes a lot, I don't want to say skill, I would probably say trial and error from starting it in the early 90s to see what the best way is to put it out there, because there's a lot of competition and a lot of situations where people just think they really do know how to do the whole transaction and they only need one part from you. And we have to juggle it and try to make sure everyone's protected, you know. So it's there's a lot of facets that are, but I think it is life, and it's dealing with so many personalities in so many different areas. But it gets back to what you said. I really love dealing more with the mom and pop brokerages, which are those smaller brokerages, and we've always stayed smaller on our brokerage end too, because I just think you're getting people that are really, you know, it's the nucleus of their family, they hire agents, and it's really about taking care of people. And, you know, it's the bread and butter. Everybody has to keep it running to be able to make it work. And I just like that model so much better. But I think a lot of us smaller brokerages need support, which is why we do the membership, you know, because we need support because we can't get squashed always by the huge guys saying, okay, it's just a numbers game, and we're just going to bring in 5,000 agents, and you know, and just if everybody makes a sale, the company's happy. But you're getting all different types of people not trying to work. So, you know, I've seen it from one extreme to the other, and and the training seems to be a lot different these days because people are bombarded. You know, so it's. We've had a lot going on, and a lot with the MLS systems and the rules, and I think the MLS systems are trying to, and the NAR, National Association of Realtors, is trying to stop. They don't want to see all these unbundled services because they think it's going to hurt the industry long haul. I don't think it'll hurt it because people need to have choices. And what it all comes back to is when the people really need help, and they go, wait a minute, we're going to go back to Jale because we trust her, right? We know you took care of them. And the same with me, where they'll say, wait a minute, let's give Natalie a call and see what she thinks right now because we know we can trust her, you know. So that's something I think is not going to change.
That really is the bottom line. That's probably the biggest value we have. And going back to the small companies versus big, I find the internet is the greatest equalizer. You have access to what big companies had touted as their strength. Anybody has access to it now.
Exactly.
You can learn, and you can be just as effective or more so than the big companies. But they also have their place. I mean, they have. I know some bigger companies that are wonderful because of who runs them, and I know some that they are not because, like you said, it's just numbers game. But
right. I mean, if you get somebody right that cares and they're really running it, and it's a philosophy, then I think it can be wonderful too. But
I do have friends who have big companies, and they've always been great, and you know that's a great contribution to the industry itself and the community. But there are some that, you know, whatever, you're just one of the many. So, but most people, and most agents are really nice. I mean, they are, especially in this area, in our area. You will see friends, they're working for different companies. It's really wonderful.
And it's been in for a while. I wanted to give your contact information too. It's Jale Dalton, DALTON, and your website is www, of course, jaledalton.com. You cover pretty much a good part of Southern Pennsylvania, York, Adams County, parts of Maryland,
Central,
I believe.
Yeah. We are located in right near Gettysburg. Everyone knows Gettysburg, 20 minutes from there, 15 to 20 minutes.
Right.
And
okay.
I have the best location. We are on a golf course, and we were looking at the ski slopes. Just a beautiful place to be.
Wonderful.
It's about 7 minutes from Emmitsburg, which is where the FEMA is located in this area, and Seton National Shrine. It's just a neat area to be in. I feel like
I'm on vacation. FEMA?
Yeah, FEMA is here.
Oh, okay.
They have the firefighters as well. They have huge campuses in Emmitsburg, which is, as I said, 7 minutes from where I am.
Are you, let me ask you about, because a lot of people listening in and calling in later, downloading, we get a lot of archive listeners. That particular area, how's the market right now in that area? Is it more of a seller's market, buyer market, or?
I think it is more a buyer's market. And values have come down a little bit in this area since last year, which makes it a really great buying season. Interest rates, of course, as everyone knows, wonderful. Just a good area. And what we enjoy is the proximity to not only the Washington, D.C. area, but to Baltimore and Harrisburg. It's just a nice area.
Wow, so that only takes you, because I know to get up to shore, it takes you probably, what, an hour and a half, 2 hours maybe? D.C. would probably be 2 hours.
D.C. is hour and a half, probably on weekdays, weekends, you could do it faster. Let's say hour and a half. I mean, I don't drive that all the time, so I don't know.
Baltimore,
about hour and 15 minutes to the middle.
Okay.
Harrisburg is about an hour. So it's really...
That is wonderful. Let me ask you, what can somebody buy, just, I know it's off the top of your head, just like, what could they buy a farm for example, you know, Gettysburg, Littlestown, York? I say farm, probably at least 20-plus acres, or that probably doesn't constitute farm up there like in some places.
Yeah, anywhere from, depending on the buildings, anywhere from a few hundred thousand to several hundred thousand. It depends on what you
that's
have.
All?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's literally, that's all?
Yeah, this is a good place to buy. It really
How many acres could you get? What would you get for how many acres about if you were going to pay $300,000 maybe?
You could get 20 acres and a decent house, maybe. I mean, decent, I guess, is... I mean, it depends on what you think of design. I'm talking about livable.
Right, right. Where somebody's maybe get... Could you get a farm, 50 acres, 100 acres? Bigger? I mean, those can be a farm still at 20, but I'm just saying, could you get even more land?
Yeah, of course. There's a lot of acreage for less than 500,000. So it is a very... If you want land, this is a good area. And, of course, you're also looking at a different area. I mean, like Carroll Valley itself, where I live, is composite of many different types of homes and people from all over the world, which is perfect for me. I like that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Somebody can buy it in all different price ranges, and it's pretty, it's affordable.
And what is so unusual is we have a ski liberty, ski area, and two golf courses right here, and our prices are even less than like Frederick area. Frederick is quite expensive because it's closer to D.C., I suppose, and they do have more government business.
Now, I wouldn't have thought with D.C., to me it would seem it would be further. So if you're going to go to D.C., would you go, which way would you go? Because to me...
15 to 270. 270 is...
Okay, so past by Frederick area towards past Ellicott City and then that way.
Yeah.
Okay, so you wouldn't come down through...
All the way to Frederick and then 270.
Wow.
How far?
I'm amazed. So right now, say a property, a farm, say something is $300,000, would it have been more 2 years ago or less?
I think it was slightly more. I see that our values have gone down about... 7 to 8% in the last year.
Wow!
But
so now it's really
it
a time
seems to be stable.
You know, in Hawaii, it's you know, it's crazy. It's 600,000 buys you a teardown in many places, and then a million two can 1,400 square foot house in Kailua. You know, it's just amazing what the prices are. Yeah, you can still go to the Big Island and buy for a couple hundred thousand something that's really small on water catchment systems. I mean, maybe some have water. You know, it's not that you, but it's very difficult overall. Those prices sound great. So wonderful. And to reach you, actually, to call in, your phone number is 717-642-5844. 717-642-5844, and you cover a large part of York, and you're licensed in Maryland too, right? So you can go over the line and help people.
So we have, and the reason for that was actually I had friends, agents that lived in Maryland, and they could sell in Maryland, so I got my Maryland license. But I do some business there, not as much as we do in Pennsylvania.
But that
the
sounds...
whole area is a very beautiful place to live. In Adams County, the apples are famous. They have a lot of beautiful apple trees. And this time of the year, of course, they are getting ready to all ripen and look beautiful, golden.
Oh, wow.
A nice place to live.
Do you, let me ask you one thing. A lot of people that I run into work virtually as well as I do and are really, you know, moving to different parts of the world. I talked to a client in Maryland yesterday who's moving to Belize because they work virtually. So as long as they have a computer and the internet, they can work. So where you are, is there really good high-speed internet? Because I know some areas, for example, I'm just giving examples on the East Coast, like in Virginia, there's some out-of-the-way places that would be wonderful to live in, too, but the internet access isn't as great.
Oh, no, we have that. I mean, probably it's not as good as some of the larger cities, but enough for us. It's really...
is it pretty high speed, do you think? Because it's hard to tell. I mean, is it pretty fast?
Yeah, they are high speed, yeah. We do cable at the office. And DSL at home, and they both they both seem to be quite good. I mean, nobody could live without it anymore. I don't think.
No, not at all.
You have
not
to
at all. No, not at all. It's just that. But I wonder that because it's a big deal, you know, for people. And so with your area, then a lot of people, if they buy farms, get generators and things because of power situation in the winter?
Oh, no. We have a rural electric company that goes pretty much everywhere. And it's called Adams Electric, and it's everywhere.
And then people have wow. That's just, it sounds like such a great place because how far away from the airports?
Harrisburg, 1 hour. Under 1 hour if you push the speed limit. Baltimore is about an hour and a half, BWI, and then National is about that.
D.C., Dallas
DC
and National.
And Dallas is probably close to that. Yeah, they're all within an hour and a half.
Is there a small airport if somebody wants to puddle jump and just take something to another area?
I think Hagerstown still does it, which is about half an hour, 35 minutes from here. I don't think Harrisburg is too far away. I mean, it's just a straight shuttle.
Right, when you look at that, that's great.
Yeah.
So Hagerstown, I didn't even realize Hagerstown is that close to you.
Yeah, it
this is.
It's
amazing. So somebody wanting to buy right now can really get a great deal where you are.
Oh, absolutely. Not only here, but then there's Waynesboro over the mountains that have the Appalachian Trail. We go over those mountains into Waynesboro. There are some really good deals there.
Waynesboro?
Mm-hmm, Waynesboro. And
as
you head to Waynesboro, if you make a left, you go towards Hagerstown, the area. Of course. Everything's beautiful.
That's fantastic.
Everything's
great. And then for the financing, because I know you know about all of it, to help with everything. If somebody wants to buy a farm, I remember, you know, in different days when I did, well, I've done developments over the years, et cetera, and lots of times on lenders, if it's over 20 acres, they weren't going to lend at certain percentages. It had to be tied in. Is there any type of anything going on with that that's easier to buy a farm now if it has large acreage?
That probably is the same as it was before. FHA or VA doesn't usually work for big land,
farm.
So you're back to conventional.
Okay.
So that's but probably
somebody can still do it.
Oh yeah,
somebody
yeah, of course.
Still do it.
Yeah, and especially if you have 20% or more, but they have different. You know, the things were so different back when we used to calculate qualifications and all that, but now they have so many different programs for buyers.
That's so funny you say that. Do you remember the days where they gave us their financial sheet? We got to calculate their income and debt ratios, saw
yeah.
what they had in the bank, and now
yeah,
people just go to the lenders and they don't want us to know. And but it's nice if they somebody lets us qualify, pre-qual with the numbers at least, to know that they really qualify. And, yeah, there's so many programs these days. It's just amazing. And now Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae are trying to do away with it, which I pray they never do, because I think that'll really hurt our industry drastically for the, you know, for a lot of buyers. But it's amazing, the programs. I'm starting to see stated income programs coming back and other programs. It's just unbelievable what's going on again. So
whatever they feel like their income
I know. Well, it's not as bad as what, like, between 2002 and 2008. I think a lot of people, if they breathed, they could get a house, and that proved to be very disastrous. Right?
Yeah.
There had to be more qualifications than what was going on during that period. It was definitely a free for all. But wow, it's such a pleasure speaking with you, and I hope we can have you back on the show too sometime, because there's so many, you know, you're so knowledgeable. We could take any topic, one topic, and talk about it for quite a while, you know, because that's what comes with over 30 years of experience in all these transactions. And it's just not something you totally learn in a classroom. I don't care what anyone says. Do you agree? You just
I remember when I came to this office, I mean this very office I'm sitting in, they were looking for agents. I said to the manager, who became a very good friend, Tom Phillips, I said, yes, I can work here, but if you are willing to be there for me, because there's too much to retain, and I didn't feel qualified in dealing with somebody's life earnings and then, you know, a huge situation without somebody mentoring me. And I said, oh, yes. And it turned out that the agents in the office were also lovely. They were there for me. If I needed help, they were there, and it was wonderful. So
wow. And then you ended up buying that business later?
Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Well, my kids were very little, and my husband was in Germany working for the military, and I couldn't really go to the other office. They were going to close this office, and I would have to go to Gettysburg. But I didn't. My mom was here to helping me take care of my children, and I didn't want to be 15, 20 minutes away. I wanted to be 2 minutes away. So I didn't have a choice but buy the business. That was the reason. Yeah.
That's too fun. I love it. You know, in 1989, I was with Remax and did quite a lot of deals, and they didn't have an office. The closest office to my house was like 45, 50 minutes away, and I refused to have to go in all the time.
Yeah.
So I rented a little satellite office. This was before I bought my building in Reisterstown that I sold a long time ago. But I rented a place, and they said, you can't do that. We have to come in. And I'm like, I'm not going all the way in. And then they were trying to force me to buy a franchise, and I didn't want the franchise because I had so much business without that, you know, and
yeah.
I didn't want it, so that's what forced me to become a broker in 1990. I said, okay, I got to start my own company, but, you know, it's funny how certain things happen, and you wonder if you would have, should have, could have, whatever, you know, and it worked out.
I would not have. After that, I found out one of my good friends had bought the business down the road just a few minutes away. Neither one of us knew that we were going to do this. And he said, well, if I had known, then I wouldn't have bought this. We could work together. And I said the same thing to him, because you can't do everything and have a life. That's why we work 7 days a week.
Yeah.
If you're an agent, you can sell and go home, and you don't have to worry about the business end of it. I mean, you do
right.
for your own stuff. But as you well know, a building, a business, has a lot of overhead and a lot of work. I mean,
right.
you name it, and you have to do it. So
yeah.
I wouldn't. I just...
You know, you need to go back. If you go back, would you have stayed an agent somewhere, or would you have still been a broker and having your own company?
It would have depended on who owned the business.
Mm-hmm.
This particular friend, he was a retired military, and he was an awesome, awesome guy. He's still living. But I would have be perfectly
yeah.
fine working with him, for him. But
wow.
Depends on who you're working with. I mean, sometimes you just have to decide, well, I don't think I can mesh with that, my thoughts or my whatever. Sometimes
yeah.
you do.
I know, with all the years of being in the business and all the overhead I have spent, I still think I'd rather have my own than working with somebody else. But I guess if you have good partners, then it does make a difference. You know, I take time off, though. I definitely take time off, and I have other people do things. But even though I take time off, I still want to check in just to make sure everything's
mm-hmm.
okay, you know?
Well, I have seen you on your phone the whole time you were having lunch, so you're working all the time. I know that.
No, I don't. I look at it. I check and see what's going on, but I'm not like, you know. Yeah, and that's, to me, that's fun. That's because of technology. You know, you can
yeah.
look and go, oh, and I see all the things that they're doing and taking care of, but I still do know about it, because you're right. I don't feel comfortable just to not know what's happening. Totally.
Yeah.
yeah. It's definitely a different, it's like you stay in touch, but then you're able to just, like, still be off. And that's
you
what
know
I love
what?
About
it's,
technology.
It's all good. If you like what you're doing, if you love what you're doing, it's all good, and it's all...
That's true.
You know, whatever.
Yeah, and it's just... I think, what would you say to the new people, because we're just about ready to end here. We went over. What would you say to new people thinking about getting in the industry?
It's a great business. It gives you the opportunity to become knowledgeable in a lot of aspects of life. It's a wonderful business. It takes a lot of work. There are no corner cutting. You have to think of the client first, and that is paramount. That's the most important thing. But we were talking about balancing. Take time to balance your life. I mean, these days will fly, 30 years.
Wow.
Like, you know, 3 years. Enjoy your children if you have them. That would be my only regret. I didn't take enough time for my children because I was so busy.
Yeah.
And take time to have fun. I mean, that's a big part of it. And don't take everything to your heart and keep it there. Just look at it.
Got to balance. Balance it out.
Let it go. Yeah.
With technology, we can, because you can still be spending time with your children. You can just go check in for 10 minutes and go back, you know? Or you can kind of do it. I've found that I've been able to juggle and travel and do whatever, but I like to be able to just have a feel, and I like to be able to see what's going on and then go, okay, everything's great, I can keep going, you know. But I think
that's
for the young ones, though. They have such a different there are ways to team up and work with people and have coverage so that you can. And I think one thing I've noticed is we have to be able to say no. We can't do all the business everywhere all over, because otherwise
absolutely.
You burn absolutely. Out. You're not going to make everybody happy, you know, because if you're spread too thin everywhere, which I it's wonderful talking with you, because you're not jaded in the business. And I literally, after 30 years after doing so much of the changes, you know, downsizing, coming here, going there, you know, making changes constantly, which costs a lot of money and a lot more overhead. Sometimes I find myself jaded in the business, saying, it's time to retire. It's time. you know, to just retire. And then I get more rest, and then I go, oh, no, I'm not ready. I haven't even finished what I wanted to do yet, right? You know what I mean? You go through those.
I think if you take the time off and just think of what it is that you like doing,
yeah,
you'll see that, yeah, you can do it. And, you know, we all go through that. We all go through, you know, all this work, all this time. What is it about? We do go through that. And then you get older, too,
and you think you should have invested more, socked away more, did whatever. You know, a lot of my risks cost a lot of money because you still have to keep paying the overhead when you're doing all these things, you know?
But see, I don't think about that. All I have to do is look at the galaxies. Everything is hanging there fine. Everything is in balance. We are going to be fine.
That's so true. It's so true.
Nobody is going to starve. Nobody is going to be on the streets. It's fine.
God provides.
Really? Absolutely.
I believe.
I mean,
this is
the balance of our lives, our universe, and we're going to be just fine.
I love it. That's true. And that comes from true wisdom spoken, right, Jale? True wisdom. After seeing it after so many years and go, you know what? It all does work out. We're okay.
Yeah.
You know, even if we want to zigzag or change it or do whatever. And you know, one thing I can say is I don't like to be hemmed in or feel like I'm... I know when I was raising my son, I was so happy to raise my son and be able to be at his games and other things and just so many things I could do with him, even though I worked a lot. And I just loved that freedom that real estate gave. But then once he was raised and going through college, I don't like to be in an office every day. I like to come and go. I like my freedom. You know, so we all have different personalities, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
I do want to say I think this real estate business can be structured so that whomever's listening to this now and later, whatever personality is your personality, you can make this work and still stay happy in it and not feel stuck. You know, you can, right, come and go, work it out. One big piece of advice I got from somebody recently who's an advisor that said that you're not always going to get everybody to be able to do what you do 100% the way you want it. It may only get done 85% the way you want it or 60%, mm-hmm. which we don't want to allow in customer service or legalities because we don't want to get in trouble.
Right.
But there's a part of it of delegating and letting go that we have to know, right, they may not do exactly the way I want it perfectly. You know what I mean? And that's part of that
yeah.
gives us a little bit of freedom, too. And then the wisdom going, it's still going to be okay.
it will. But you're right. You have to take care of what needs to be taken care of. That's my thing. I cannot go home until every last piece of the contract has been looked and sent and whatever. I mean, that has to be done.
Yeah.
But other than that, you know, nobody's 100%. Nobody's going to be perfect all the time.
And you know your priorities. You know what's a priority and what can leave. One last thing I do know, I've told a lot of people that worked with me, for me, around me, all that, is especially people doing admin staff work, going to have to realize that inbox is never going to be empty. It's never going to be empty because if it's empty, we're out of business because
I know, right?
We're in such a business where this one's coming in and that's one coming in, this one's coming in. But you know, and then so you have to really prioritize and go, okay, that contract must be done right or this must be done right, right? And prioritize, okay, this is top priority, the rest can wait. We've got about 1 minute left and I just want to say thank you and I'd love to do this again with you. We just touched on one topic. We could touch on so many.
I know, because we'll solve the moral issues, yes.
It's wonderful. So,
thank you. It's been wonderful for me, too. I didn't know what to expect. This is my very, very first time doing anything like this. So,
are you kidding? Well, we're going to get you on a lot more then. I keep telling Cheryl I want to do satellite Chinese lunches with her on Skype. No, we're doing it in person. Come on, let's just do it on Skype. So there's always the first time for everything, right?
And
well, thank you so much. I will hopefully talk to you soon. And And thanks again for coming on. And to everybody out there, I wish you peace.
Thank you, Natalie.
Thank you for joining us on Realty Universal Radio. Our hope is that you are enlightened, encouraged, and mobilized to be an agent of change. Realty Universal is on Facebook. Join us there. Follow us also on Twitter at Realty Universal. And for more information, you can go to RealtyUniversal.com. Make it a great day.